Welcome to the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. If this is your first time listening, make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you can join me in having some epic conversations that access higher levels of potential with creatives and professionals from all around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest on the podcast is my friend, Christina Dwyer. She is the owner of Eastern Vitality. It's a wellness facility specializing in acupuncture and several other Chinese medicine modalities. In this podcast, we discuss the body's ability to be a self-healing machine. We talk about the significance of dark times, the ability to create higher levels of self-awareness. We also talk about the trifecta, the topics of hustle culture, burnout, and then bringing balance back into your life. We talk a little bit about manifesting reality and what that really means. And we go down the rabbit hole and talk several other esoteric thoughts about the fundamental nature of reality and consciousness. It was a fantastic podcast. I love interacting with other business owners in the Park Ridge area, especially the ones that have a similar philosophy when it comes to healing and wellness in general. If you're interested in connecting with Christina and checking out her place, you could book appointments at easternvitalityacupuncture.com, and you can follow her on Instagram at easternvitalityacupuncture and at christina_acuqueen. So without further ado, enjoy this podcast. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend and leave a review. Enjoy the show.
So tell me about like your story. Why did you get into business? Why into business of helping people? And then tell me why specifically acupuncture?
All right. So I'm going to try to condense this.
But sure.
So back when I was in college, I was in school to get a medical degree. I was in the pre-med route. And then towards like the end of the college days in my undergrad, I really felt a pull towards more holistic side of things. I did a lot of research on like insurance companies, drug companies, and that did not align with me. I never wanted to be the doctor that just saw a patient every 6 months to a year, wrote them a script, and then was like, I'll see you when I see you. I wanted to be the one that's more patient-centered care.
Love it.
At the same time, that was like an awakening moment for me. At the same time, I was going through some really harsh times in my life. Okay. And I had some physical ailments, some mental health issues. I discovered acupuncture. And I ended up going to an acupuncturist. And I honestly attribute me getting through those times with, you know, or me going to acupuncture is what helped that. So I saw a whole nother system of medicine when I went to acupuncture. I realized that, you know, conventional medicine is not always going to be the end all be all, that there's other options for us.
Yeah.
And that Eastern medicine itself is literally, it's been around for 3,000 years.
Yeah.
Ish, you know, give or take. So there's some credibility behind that.
Totally.
Yeah. So with that said, in like my last year of college, I had a total change in heart and I was like, let's look into other holistic options for, you know, schooling. So I saw that.
And this was roughly like what year?
This was 2007.
Okay, 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Oh my God.
Talking about like holistic stuff 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Out of this world. Because that's like right when YouTube started to become hot.
Yes.
And like nobody's really talking about alternative methods of healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Everyone's just kind of like going with the flow.
Yeah.
Life is good at this point.
Right.
We're like, I mean, I guess the recession hit in 2008.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was no like, you know,
totally
crazy COVID scare or anything like that. I think it was like H1N1.
Yeah.
H1N1 there was like something
stuff.
Like that
yeah.
happening.
Yeah.
But never to the point where it like freaked people out to
yeah.
where like,
you know, I agree.
They're changing everything and
yeah.
like yelling at each other and hysteria. So like, okay, you're talking about 2007. You're thinking about like getting into this realm, this field of wellness that isn't really talked about. How can you elaborate about like what kind of like mental, emotional issues that were happening, or is that too personal?
No, that's okay. I actually went through and like, I love now sharing my story because I feel like when we've come from a place that we've been able to heal ourselves, we
yeah.
can much more easily share our story, be authentic about it, and that inspires others to
100%.
Heal.
That's why I
so,
asked you.
So I was going through a very abusive, physically abusive relationship.
Okay.
that brought me to the depths of my soul. Mm. So I was trying to get out of that. Mm. And it caused me a lot of physical issues, mental health issues. And at the same time, I was, you know, fake it till you make it, get through school,
yeah.
Let's go to grad school, all of that. So that is where I was at that point in my life. And then choosing the route to go into like an alternative healing school, it was like I'm going against the grain. It's like how you said,
yeah.
You know, it was like not really talked about as much, not accepted as much. Yeah.
So when you did acupuncture for the first time and you're in like dark states, explain to me what the first feels of alleviation were like. Because I've done acupuncture with you only one time.
Yeah.
And it's a modality I want to experience more of. But I love like catharsis. Like every time I'm in like a meditative state and I get these wonderful thoughts about life and relationships and ideas and all that. I just remember doing acupuncture and feeling very just like,
super zen, right?
Super zen, relaxed.
Yeah.
And I think I worked myself up a little too much because I was like, I wonder what kind of what thoughts am I going to have? What visions am I going to have? And it wasn't like that. It was really like physically relaxing and like mentally, emotionally, just like, But tell me like, what was your first aha moment when you went through acupuncture? You're like, okay, yeah, this is definitely a route that I can see myself helping people.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I can pinpoint an exact time frame, but because I now know that acupuncture works in a more cumulative effect. The healing process is cumulative. So everything builds upon the previous session or, you know, whatever you're working with. So
like exercise.
Yes, exactly. So it's like not a one-time thing. So I felt that after I had a series of sessions, I looked back at from where I was and where I went to, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm a completely different person. I feel amazing. I feel renewed. You know, I still had a lot of inner work to do,
sure,
but it was a stepping stone in the right direction. And then in doing that, it gave me more of a purpose and passion to show this to other people and show them that they can feel this good too. So through not just actual like poking people with needles, but the whole process.
The whole process.
Yeah, the whole process.
And then building on itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're in like a dark time, it's hard to see the positivity and to try to be optimistic about what you can potentially learn when you're going through the dark times,
right?
Because there's always something on the other end, like life happens for you, not to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that hundreds of times.
Of course.
So it's hard to see why it's happening for you when it's happening.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
But when you're doing a modality that gives you this alleviation, this feeling of
it's like lifting the veil.
Yeah,
Like when you're in that state, or say like patients or people, you're in pain or you're running high stress all the time, or you're whatever you want to call that dark place that you know, you're at this lower vibration. It's like you're in the fog and you can't see through the fog.
Yes.
So then doing things like acupuncture, meditation, other healing modalities, self-care, exercise.
It's
like
huge.
Lifting the veil to give you more mental clarity to see that light at the end of the tunnel.
Which is always there.
Yes.
Right?
It's always there.
It's just hard to see it when you're in those dark times.
Yeah.
You know, so like you go on this journey of self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go on the journey of self-healing, you could potentially heal the world. So
agreed.
Like, let's talk about that. You go on your own journey to heal yourself. And then through that whole process, like the feels of helping others. Why do you think that is? Because I feel that genuinely, like I've always had like this coaching, like, you know, characteristic.
To serve, right?
To serve, right.
Yeah.
Help others.
Yeah.
But then when I realized like, okay, I got to go in and fill my cup first, because you can't fill up other people's cups when your cup is empty.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, why do you think we intrinsically want to serve others?
I think that we're all put here with a gift and a purpose.
Mm.
And it's up to us if we're going to discover that or not. A lot of us may not even discover that in this lifetime. Ooh. I feel that I'm super blessed and grateful that all the things that I went through have led me to this point to be able to lead others.
Yeah.
And so what I want to create is impact and influence and service to others. And when I do that, that is a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So if I do my inner work, I'm inspiring others to do their inner work. And then that's a ripple. They're inspiring someone else.
Yeah.
So it's like you can influence the entire human collective just by working on yourself.
100%.
Spreading that. It's like a light, right?
Yeah. And that, like, that goes unseen. So, totally. Like, you don't necessarily realize that you're having an effect on somebody just by something you say to them in a session.
Yeah.
And then they go and they talk to their children, their husband, their wives, or whatever, the people that they work with. Mm-hmm. And then there's a light that they get from that. And then so on it goes. And, yeah, you definitely could help so many people just by positively impact one person.
Yeah.
It's really wild. Okay, so, like, nowadays there's a lot of shit talk about, like, hustle culture.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, like, in order to, like, self-heal, you have to go on your own journey.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
But then when you go on your journey, you're the only one, like, mitigating how hard you go in the pain.
True.
Right?
True.
So when you have your own business, it's like, if you're not doing something all the time, you're not, you know, yielding cash flow, or you're not growing, or whatever the hell you want to say to yourself.
Yeah.
But
however you want to convince yourself.
You want to convince yourself, you're not doing enough work.
Right.
Because I remember when I first started going into work for myself, like, if I wasn't training, I felt like I was going backwards.
Right.
But then I got to this point where I'm training 9 hours a day, and then now I'm burning out.
Right.
And that was hard for me to just like come to grips with. But orchestrating your time appropriately, efficiently, optimally. Talk to me about how you go through that. Because hustle culture is good, but the things
to
that you...
To an extent.
Mm-hmm. And the things that you're doing have to make you feel whole and purposeful.
Agreed.
But even if they're whole and purposeful,
right,
you can still be pushing the boundary too much that now your cup is empty. And like
you're drained.
Then you find yourself asking, what the fuck am I doing all this for?
Exactly.
Right? So let's talk about that and why, like, you know, it's important to talk about.
Right. I love that, and like I've been in both places.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I was like hustle hard, grind, like, okay, I'm not gonna make it unless I like work 12 hours a day and like put out the marketing, like put out, you know, treat 20 patients a day, whatever, you know, the case may be. But I burned out like several times.
How long would you say into starting your business where you first had that burnout?
I would say probably 3 years in.
Okay.
Because that was when I was just trying to get my feet like sturdy.
Business. Yeah. And 3 years is like what they say.
And then, but the hustle culture, I feel like there is it's an overused term. And when we do that and we grind into the point of burnout, we have to give consistent effort that is maintainable over a long period of time.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes we do have to rest and reset. So I've learned to accept that I don't need to work my ass off and grind till I am like blue in the face and like knocked out by like 7 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
In order to have results in my business and results in my patients.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. I like to compare it to like, I've used this term like the slingshot effect.
Okay.
So sometimes we have to like pull back and reset in order to really propel us forward.
Yeah. I use that same analogy.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think like that's the reason why we go back to something like acupuncture, cold shower, or meditation or exercise, because like we're putting forth effort through our endeavors, but what are we using as tools to bring us back?
Right. Like those methods, those therapies, those, you know, tools that we have of like stillness, or regeneration, like acupuncture, things like that. That's what fills us up. And that is doing something. That's not, we have to accept that when we're resting, that's actually doing something.
Yeah.
It's like plugging our phone in.
Yeah.
You
got to
plug your phone in and to recharge the battery.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. I try to tell my clients and myself too, like you put this energy into scheduling your workout.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it 3-4 times a week.
Right.
But like, how do you schedule your recovery?
Right.
You have to look at that just as evenly as you look at your workout.
Totally.
Right. Working out, catabolic, you're breaking down muscle tissue, and
you have to get time to repair.
Yeah. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to get the gains. You're not going to get the results.
It's the same thing for the mind and the body. I feel like I like to say that meditation is like a muscle for the mind.
Yes,
you have to keep working it.
I agree. Yeah. And it like primes yourself for just not getting distracted. Like I've been starting my day with at least 10-minute meditation for the last 5 years.
Love it.
And it got me into all the other holistic remedies that are out there. And I got into it because I first wanted to see visions.
Yeah.
Of course.
<Love it. laughs>
But what I found was that It was priming my brain for getting as present and still as possible.
Yes.
Because it's not to wipe out all the thoughts out, because thoughts pop in and out. No matter what, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's recognizing when your attention goes astray from the breathing.
The level of self-awareness.
Yeah.
What you learn through meditation is this whole another level of self-awareness.
Yeah. And I would say, like, self-awareness, that term in general, is key.
Totally.
You know?
Agreed.
Because it's always uncovering something that's always been there, but unconscious to the individual.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you.
And it just primes me, especially with this world is like super distracting. Like,
mm-hmm. Everything's meant to be a distraction. With the more we are in tune with our awareness, like our self-awareness, that gives us more power.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's why there's so many distractions, so that like our power is being given away all the time, And then what happens? And it drains us even more. Like it drains us of our personal power.
Yeah, I hate to think about it. It's like that these things are manufactured to pull our power away, but they are.
I believe they, in many ways, they are. They're a blessing and a curse.
For sure. Yeah. They connect people like you and I. You know, they do a lot of good things. But there's a double-edged sword. And I look at like water and fire that way too. Because like water can hydrate you and satisfy you, but it also can drown you.
Totally.
Fire, same thing. Cooked food keeps you warm, but also could burn you.
Yeah.
I think these tools are so new and there's like so much depth to them. They can do so much. Now with like the unleashing of AI and ChatGPT, we don't even know yet how we're gonna use them as help. Or we can take these tools and get completely distracted by them and drown all our attention.
See, this is where there has to be a balance of that self-awareness and discipline in our thinking and how we choose our thoughts and what we do, like how we, like our thoughts turns into actions and habits.
How we talk to ourselves.
How we talk to ourselves, all of that. And I feel like more and more people are awakening to that.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of us that are, I mean, I know I get caught up in the distractions. All
like
the
we
time.
All do.
Like, but as long as we can like bring ourselves back, and you do that through meditation or breath work or acupuncture, or like things that are going to bring you to that level of relaxation where your nervous system is calm.
Yes. So. Cold bath, sauna. Yeah. I like to use the analogy for cold bath. It's like a controlled, chaotic environment. Because inevitably shit hits the fan.
Oh my gosh, yes. I was going to talk to you about this,
Right, so you get into this cold bath where it's, you want to get out. Everything in your body's saying, get out, you're in danger, you're in danger. But you could override that feeling with your mind.
Completely.
And then that builds like a muscle. And when inevitably things in your life do get chaotic, or you overshot your boundaries, you're doing too much, you're trying to get everything, like you're in that state, I got to do more. And then ultimately something breaks, the wheel falls off, and you got to just...
Yeah, I use the term, which is similar, is get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because if you can do that, if you can be uncomfortable and know that like shit's going to hit the fan, no matter what, life is going to life you.
Yeah.
Life is lifing sometimes, right? And if you can get comfortable with that, and then you can maintain peace within the storm, you are set.
Yeah.
Like your level of self-awareness, your level of peace, your mind, body, health will be optimal at all times.
Yeah. And then what I'm learning is now there are levels to this.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so there's physical levels. You can do all kinds of movements, motions, heavy weight, you know, building different complexes with kettlebells and clubs. Then I start thinking about like, okay, can we start developing skills telepathically? Is that next level of self-awareness? Can I get on the unified field plane where everything's infinite, where time and space collapse and time is infinite, where I'm seeing things uncover, whether it's past, future, distant future, in my present self right now, and then pulling them towards my current reality? Can we get to those points, do you think? Can we go telepathic? Can we do clairvoyancy, clairaudience? Can we get to those levels, do you think?
I truly feel we can.
I think we can, too.
I can. 100% think we can, but that takes such a level of self-awareness and
mastery.
Like mastery.
Yeah.
And because I myself, I've seen visions and things that have happened, will happen, or just other interesting, you know, things through meditation. Interestingly enough, whenever I've done like sauna sessions with like those deep detoxing sweats, like that's when I get my like most profound visions. Or when I've gone like doing float tank sessions, yeah, where you're literally cut off from all sensory
input.
So I think we definitely can, and I think we all have that gift.
I think so too.
We all have that gift, but it's just we're programmed to think that we don't.
Yes.
And we have to, if we want to get to that point, first of all, we have to know we have it and have that level of self-awareness.
Belief is huge.
And then we have to like shed the layers of conditioning, because we're conditioned and programmed.
Yeah,
like
programming.
Our conscious minds are programmed to think that that stuff doesn't exist.
Yeah. Or it's woo-woo.
Or it's woo-woo.
And when you say programmed.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's programming it? Who's programming
us? I mean, I would just say like societal norms, you know, what we're from a young age, you know, through the media, through, you know, things that we view and see in the world, like we're conditioned by things that we see.
Yeah.
So, and that puts more layers as we're from when we're children, into like, you know, teen years, adult years. I think, what do they say? Like from the age of like 0 to 7 is like when.
I love saying the term 0 to 7. I say that all the time. I swear to God. Yeah.
From that age, like 0 to 7, that's when our minds are the most impressionable. And we really created our identity. And
theta brain waves from 0 to 7. Mm-hmm. So dreamlike states, way impressionable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's, so it's like we lose that over time when we are exposed to more things, unless we learn at a young age that, you know, we're capable of having these gifts and these connections with, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience, you know, higher levels
source.
Of reality, source, universe, whatever we want to call it, right? So, I'm
very
all about
cool.
that stuff.
And if we don't take into account some of these tools for putting your nervous system in more of a rest and digest state, and we're not aware that there's this shift of nervous system states to fight or flight, which people shift into it so that they can get into safety.
Yes.
Then once they get to safety, they got to get out of it.
Right.
But what's happening is folks stay in it, don't realize they're in it, burning energy, all kinds of energy throughout their adulthood. And then they find themselves in a, you know,
constant state of fight or flight.
Yeah. Well, this predicament, a predicament now it's real physical disease starting to manifest.
Right.
So I guess I answered my own question, but like, let's break down some of what your thoughts are. Like if you don't realize this, then what is the alternative?
So what comes to mind is that how our emotions cause physical ailments, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's core to what Eastern medicine teaches. And like, we say that every emotion causes, every excess emotion is going to cause a physical ailment at some point in
life.
Yeah,
if it stays stored.
If it stays stored. Yeah. So stress being the biggest one on the nervous system. So if we're constantly in fight or flight mode, no matter what, there's going to be physical evidence of that down the line. It might be a year from now. It might be 10 years from now, right? But if we, that's why it's so important to manage that or teach people how to manage that from like a younger age.
Yeah.
And it is reversible. Even at like, you know, when we get older, if we can pinpoint it and learn how to shift, because by that point, your brain is already used to being in fight or flight. So that's the comfort zone, right?
Mm.
So the minute you are in a safe space that your body should feel safe, that almost feels like a threat because it's out of the comfort zone. And it's like, I want to go back to being comfortable, which is in fight or flight mode.
Mm.
So it's, you know.
Yeah. With Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about how we're addicted to those stress hormone chemicals.
Totally. Yeah.
So without even knowing, we're finding someone to argue with or something to eat or going right to the gambling or the porn
something
or whatever.
Because it's going to set off those neurotransmitters, right?
Yeah. And you're like, okay, I need those. Yeah. I need to find a way to get those stress hormones off.
It's like a drug addict.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
not good for them, but they're going to keep trying to find the drugs because that's what's going to set off that response in their brain.
Yeah, the dopamine release.
The dopamine release,
definitely.
So,
holy cow.
So yeah, but over time, when you keep living in that state, and I mean, I was in that state and that's how I got physical issues from it or felt physical issues that I needed to shift because if I didn't shift, it was just going to go downhill.
So it's been 15 years that you've been really practicing a lot of this holistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about like your current states, physically, mentally, emotionally. Do you feel like you're in the best shape you've ever been?
I feel.
All phases?
I really, truly do. I feel like there's always... I'm not the best.
Sure.
There's always a way to better ourselves.
Always.
But I feel like the version of me that I am today I wouldn't take back anything in my past for what I am today.
It's powerful.
So it all made me who I am today. So my level of like my mindset, my physical body, you know, maybe I was in better like physical shape, like whatever, 10 years ago, but I'm happy with where I'm at because like you have to have those feelings of like being happy where you're at that time or else, you know, nothing else really matters because that's that internal work, right? So physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I feel more connected than I ever have. And I feel like when you're at that place, you attract things into your life that are at that same vibration.
100%.
So I've noticed that the more I've worked on myself, and which has become even more so in the last 2 to 3 years, the more I've worked on myself and done that inner work, the better my business has been running.
Nice.
The different, better, like, you know, people, not better, but, you know, people that have come into my life that are more on the same frequency that I'm
at. Yeah, yeah.
And on another note, those that don't vibe with me, they, you know, gradually just kind of fall off the chart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you don't resonate. You're not on the same energetic frequency.
One of my mantras for 2023 was let the people go who have to go.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm not trying to keep customers that are, you know, inconsistent or this or that. Yeah. It's like, you got to go.
If you don't vibe, then you don't vibe. There might be somebody else that vibes for you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
and that's good too.
What doesn't serve your highest purpose shouldn't be in your life or your business. And that, I mean, that goes across the board, but, and it's nothing like, it's not like good riddance, like peace out, you know, like forget you. It's more like, it's okay. Like you're, every lesson is a blessing.
For sure. Well, if you start going down that road and start holding grudges, then you're stuffing emotion into yourself and that's counterproductive to what we're talking about.
Totally.
You know, and you want to neutralize that, not pain, but you want to neutralize those offset feelings. It might be frustration or guilt or shame or whatever. You got to come to the grips of being open and honest with whatever those feelings are. Come to a cordial, neutral, you know, agree to disagree moment. Yeah. And, you know,
I always like to ask myself, what can I learn from this?
Yes. Yes.
That's where my mind goes. Yeah. If there's in business, if something doesn't go right, or I have, you know, if there's a conflict with a patient or something else in with business, or even in my personal life, like, after the, when you're in the thick of something, you might get mad, frustrated, or whatever's going on. But I always ask myself, what can I learn from this? Like, how is there a blessing in this? And what can I learn from it? And that's hard to do.
It's hard.
It's really hard to do.
It is hard.
But it serves your higher purpose.
For sure. And it makes sense that if you're doing all kinds of, you know, I guess, rest and digest type modalities to get your nervous system in a nice and calm place, that you do a better job of finding the positivity in the dark moments.
Yeah.
Like how we started talking about, you know, and that goes to show that you're doing a great job then,
thank
you know,
you. Appreciate well, that.
Of course. I mean,
thank you.
I think all of us, we go through those, I don't know if I can handle this moment.
Yeah.
And then we have to like lean on the people in our lives and we have to lean on our own practice and, you know, it's just, it's not easy to navigate.
Whatever you need to get you through things is going to show up at the right moment. That's like my motto. If you are feeling like you said, like you need to lean on people or you need like some type of support, I feel like I like to say like ask and you shall receive, because when you need something, like you put your intention out there and something's going to show up at the right moment, and it might not feel right, but it ends up being right and for your highest good.
So when you ask, are you talking to yourself? You put out like that intention, like just out in the open when you're talking by yourself, or like when I do meditations, I'm getting much better. And this is how my meditation practice evolved. Like before I start sitting and thinking about the breathing and following the breath up and down, I'll say something out loud to the cosmos.
Like an intention.
Like an intention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I'll stop, follow the breath for a few minutes, and then I'll just let my mind go wherever it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And then I listen to whatever's mustering up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's how I communicate with something higher.
Something higher, a higher source. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or super conscious or whatever.
Whatever,
the hell
divine
you want to call
mind,
it.
You know, source, universe, whatever we want to affiliate with that. But yeah, I feel like I put like same thing in a meditation, or even if I wake up first thing in the morning, like my intentions for this day are,
you write it down or say
it? I say it more so in my head or in a meditation. And then usually like either during a meditation, or sometimes even before I go to bed at night, I'll like state an intention of like what I'm asking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'll be like, please give me this answer in some way. And it may come to me in my dreams. It may come to me in a meditation. But it's interesting because like I have had so many instances where I'm like, oh my God, that really happened. And I got this answer to this, you know, like asking you shall receive. But you have to believe, not believe, but know.
Yeah, that, gnosis.
Yeah, that you have that power, that intuition.
Yeah.
Like, I think we don't give enough credit to like that gut instinct that we have.
Yeah.
And like our intuitive powers.
Yeah.
And that's
so many
like,
people want to brush that off.
Yeah. Like it's woo woo. Like people are like, you're crazy. Like you're like, what are you?
But then like, what else is the alternative? Like Western medicine just gives you pills and a shot. And I'll see you,
I feel like that just
in a couple weeks.
That just clouds our consciousness. In my opinion, that can cloud our consciousness even more. There's a time and a place for it, no matter what, and thankful for, you know, it, the ways that it does help people. But a lot of it clouds our levels of consciousness and just kind of puts more layers on that we aren't able to see clearly.
Yeah, that makes sense, for sure. Yeah. I like to think of like Western medicine as like really good with acute issues.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, but when it comes to like long-term chronic ailments that people are suffering from, and it seems like nowadays more than ever, all-time highs, suicide,
everything,
heart disease, cancer, diabetes, neurodegenerative diseases, just, you know, depression, it's just up and up and up every single year by the numbers. And it's like, all right, well, what does Western medicine do to help with those things? And usually they're just band-aids.
Agreed.
And I wonder if like this is where now we're getting to this point in society where people are looking for these alternative routes and talking more about nervous system health, talking more about acupuncture, cold plunge, sauna, things of those types of like tools to you know, find peace, comfort, healing,
healing is the term,
you know, part of the reason why I opened up a place like this where we do small group training and one-on-one and physical therapy and pretty soon chiropractic health is because it's an alternative place to find ways to heal.
Right.
And I want to teach people that you have the power to heal yourself.
I was just going to say that. Like, that's what I feel I do in my office, because I want to remind people that you can heal yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not the healer.
Yeah.
But I can give you the tools and guide you in how to do that if you have an open mind to it.
Yes.
Right? So, yes, there's a time and place for Western medicine. Yes, there's, you know, there's acute care, all of those things. But the long-term preventative care and treating chronic issues, completely agree with you that there has to be, you know, a reset on that. Because I think that people are realizing that, though. I have a lot of people that are, like, that come into my office that it's like things have been shaken up enough that they're like, there should be other options out here for us, you know?
Especially with how far we've come technologically.
How
advanced we are with medicine and, you know.
I mean, I think there's amazing points to that, but I think it's even more amazing when we can find out how to heal ourselves.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then, I agree.
You know, the brain, the mind, the body connection, that it goes underrated many times as far as like how the mind can help control how the body heals.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I want to talk about manifestation.
This is manifestation.
It's a term that gets thrown around.
It is. It's thrown around.
People fucking hate it. But if you think about
it. I love it.
And we're manifesting all the time.
Everything.
All the time. Everything. So it's not like I'm wishing something happens.
No, no, no. It's not like I'm going to rub the like genie bottle.
Yeah.
And, like, he'll come to
wish. Because wouldn't people love to hear like, oh, if you wish for it, you can have it. You know what I mean? But that's not what we're fucking talking about.
No.
What we're talking about is how like our character, our personality, the way we have relationships with people, the way we do our work in the world, whether we're being honest and truthful or shady or this or that, like all of that is karma and dharma.
Karma and dharma and everything. Like attracts like,
law
of attraction, thoughts become reality.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So like in those terms, like we're manifesting things
constantly
all the time.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like feeling a future version of you and trying to generate that emotion, like I'll tell you in 2019, at the old studio, like I was reading a lot of the, you know, Joe Dispenza work. I was reading, you know, You Are the Placebo and Becoming Supernatural. And I read them like 3-4 times each. So they talk about how if you see yourself in the future or a potential version of you out there that you want to pull to your reality, you have to generate that emotion,
the feeling
mm-hmm. in real time.
Right.
Right. So I was at that old studio trying to muster up what the emotion would feel like if this was all mine.
Yep.
You know, and I like sat there and I was like, okay, well, this is my place. Yeah. I'm the head trainer here.
Right.
Like, this is, and then, okay. And it was a dead feeling. But at the same time, I'm like,
how do I do this?
How do I do it? Exactly.
Like, is this stupid?
What is it supposed to feel like?
What is it supposed to feel
like? How the fuck is it supposed to feel like? I tried my best, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence because I worked my tail off to get here.
Yeah.
But a lot of things did fall into place that I hadn't planned.
Right.
That started unfolding and I was just rolling with it.
Yep.
A lot of different things.
That's going with your intuition.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. So I believe it.
Right.
And like there are next levels that I envision myself to that I'm doing the same thing again a few years later. You know,
constantly creating our reality,
but this gets like thrown under the bus, like, oh, this is not real and blah blah blah. What's real anyways? Like that's another thing.
That's a whole nother
subject, because like reality is definitely shaky, especially if you've done psychedelics and got to a place of ego death, and then you start to realize, whoa, this
you have
is
a whole new awakening,
a whole new
what reality is.
Understanding of what reality is. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So that being said, like, who's to say like your vision of your future
isn't
self
something really happening?
Isn't real?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
Damn, this is perfect. I love having this conversation.
I'm all about that. Like, I funny example. I never thought I would have my business. I always had actually thought that I was going to work with someone else, and I had tried to work with someone else.
Me too.
But then one day I actually wrote down specifically, like, if I had my own, you know, practice, my own office space, what would it look like? So I wrote on in a little journal, I wrote, you know, storefront, sun bursting through the windows, plants, green turquoise walls,
details.
3 to 4 treatment rooms, whatever. I put tons of details in there, right? I shit you not. 3 years later, that was my office, and I forgot about that journal that I wrote that in.
Did it pop up somewhere?
Yes, I found it a year later after that. It was like in the deep center console of my car.
Nice.
And I was like, what the?
With you at all times.
Literally, yeah, this literally came true. And you know, I think when I was in that moment, I was feeling the feeling of like, what would that feel like?
Mm.
I also, you know, I'm constantly working on that now too. Like, so more so during like meditation, it's like accessing your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
You know, so,
which they say is like 100,000 times more powerful than your conscious
completely,
mind.
Completely. Our conscious mind just runs on autopilot, I think. And then like our subconscious mind is really what controls our reality.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, I'm to a point where when I want to envision something, and this takes, it's not like it's going to pop up the next day, but, you know, if I have a bigger vision, I access that through meditation. I specifically think and feel, I watch myself in a movie, basically, like going through the actions of, you know, what would it feel like to be in this place? What would it feel like with these people here? You know, if business was running like this, if I had this or that, whatever. And I think like, what would I feel? Or how would I have to be? I'd have to be committed. I'd have to be disciplined. I'd have to be motivated. I'd have to feel an abundance of gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude is like the mother of all emotions.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
I agree with
so
that.
It's like you have to feel those feelings, and then it gets the ball rolling. What I've noticed is that it gets the ball rolling, and then in this, what I like to call 3D reality, it's like opportunities just like drop into your lap.
Yeah.
It's like you can't miss them. You have signs and opportunities to get to that vision, what you want to manifest, just like comes into your path.
Yeah. I'm going to get really clear on what yes feels like.
Yeah.
When it pops in, you know.
Right.
And then that gnosis that you were talking about earlier just is like,
okay. Yeah. I like to say my motto is, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a hell no.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you just go with your gut on that. Like, if you don't feel any type of like you have to question something, then it's a no.
Yeah.
If you feel like super good, like right away, you go with it. Go with your gut. And that's like your intuition. That's your subconscious mind telling you,
yeah,
this is the way to go.
And that is something that you think everyone has. Totally. That can be activated and built to a really strong degree.
Completely.
That you can have for the rest of your life. Do you believe that you can live like multiple lives in one physical third dimensional reality lifetime?
Interesting question. So I, how do I explain this?
I think we can.
I think we can, but I don't know if it's this. I may sound a little differently than what you described it. I believe that we have, you know, one soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we are, our souls existing in this 3D physical body, mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. this 3D physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our bodies are almost just like the rental car. And like we pick up the rental car when we get dropped off in this reality.
Uh-huh.
And when we leave this reality, we transition into the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know where that is or what that is.
I agree with that.
But it's like our soul will travel through all these realities. It's infinite, infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
And, you know, how we live, everyone's living their karmic lessons. And if they don't live it through this one, they might live it through the next one, for good or for bad.
Mm.
But yeah, I believe we're all, I want to say, cosmic beings mm-hmm. in a body. Mm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think that, well, when I think of like cosmic being, I think of like one big ass infinite cosmic being that we're all cut from.
Yes.
And then we all like incarnate wherever we incarnate.
Wherever
so
we
for
are.
Right now, it's this third dimension.
Right.
And we're all trying to help ourselves realize the grandiose picture.
Picture. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're all trying to walk ourselves home.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
You know, because we're co-creating
all the time.
Reality.
Yeah.
All
everything
the time.
Is like we are one, we're all connected type
yeah.
of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's interesting because, like, I don't know what your experience is with psychedelics, but every time I've done psilocybin or MDMA, it's or DMT or LSD, it's this very, very profound feeling of mm-hmm. like, I am connected with everything in this universe.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I am the universe.
Yeah.
And like, so many people have said that same story.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to like, oh yeah, they said everything's one.
it was a woo-woo
but
stuff,
it's an
yeah.
experience.
Yeah. Totally.
And when you have it, you can't go
yeah.
back.
I
had it multiple times and it's like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
there's something to this.
Yeah.
Here. And my dad would be like, Danny, it's your brain on drugs. What the fuck are you doing? You know? I'm like, Dad, you don't understand.
Like, you don't get it.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm not doing drugs constantly like,
right.
you, like you think a drug addict would.
Right, right, right.
These are planned out,
right.
ceremonial
yeah.
type, and maybe not exactly ceremonial.
Right.
Type. A lot of times I cowboy this shit
yeah.
and I shouldn't. But at the same time, like,
yeah.
I feel like there are like lessons that I've learned, like five year lessons in one night.
I hear you.
You know what
I've
I'm
never
saying?
Actually experienced those.
Okay.
I've never done any of
okay.
those.
Okay.
However, I do believe that that's accessible through using like psychedelics.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And also without them too.
And without
like,
what I was going to say was like, I feel like I've gotten to states like that without having to use anything.
Good for you.
So it's, I can't always do that.
Yeah, it's
but
hard. Dude, that's
I've
hard.
Noticed that like in those darkest moments of mine,
uh-huh.
when I was like, where is the light?
Uh-huh.
That's where I've gotten
okay,
to that.
Okay, okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes,
100%. So, like,
which makes like the dark have a real legit purpose.
For sure.
Like there it
does.
Is happening for you so that
yes.
you can potentially see, like get to this spiritual
yeah, like
world
the phoenix rising from the fire type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's like when I've gotten the most profound
okay.
like vision or
okay.
I don't know, enlightenment from that.
See, I've never had like a real like samadhi-like experience
mm-hmm.
without any psychedelics. I haven't gotten that good where I've been meditating and breathing.
Well, I'm not saying this is any better than anyone else.
Well, you've
but...
been doing it for 15 years. How long? Since 07. You've been get,
I mean,
on
I've
the
been
path.
Doing I've been on the path, but it's not always been perfect. I can't say that like,
I mean,
you
it's
know,
not going to be
super
perfect.
Super meditator, you know,
for
like,
sure,
no,
but it's
like,
not going to be perfect for everybody.
Right,
and
exactly.
we shouldn't be. And
right.
like, you know,
we can always better ourselves.
Always better
yeah.
yourself, but
mm-hmm.
you've been on the path for 15 years. So when someone's looking for, like, I've been on the path, the path. That
the
sounds
path, whatever
so,
we're talking about.
Sounds so fucking stupid. Yeah, it just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like the awakening, let's
yeah,
call it that. There is
enlightening,
something where you're like, okay,
because yeah.
I'm not like I go back to the shitty teaching job that I had where, you know, I was basically under surveillance all the time
mm-hmm.
and I was always watching what I had to say.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not getting compensated for the amount of energy I'm putting in.
Right.
And it's like, this is not working with me good, here, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so you get to a point where you leave all that.
Yeah.
And like that was my low point. I was not in a depressed state,
mm-hmm.
but it was a point to where I was like, all right, well, there's something more here, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then the cathartic moments start flowing in. I start getting deeper into meditation, fasting for longer periods mm-hmm. of time. And then, you know, you listen to enough Joe Rogan and Aubrey Marcus, and it's like,
yeah.
okay, all right, well, let's try what mushrooms have got to say. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, having good experiences and bad experience with that, it's like, oh, okay, wow, there's definitely something deeper here.
Totally.
So you go on this journey, and like, I don't know, amazing things happen if you prime your brain to see the amazing things.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's like the same thing as like your thoughts creating your reality. Like you can access all that stuff, but you just have to be open to it.
You got to be open to it. There's a level of the individual, how open they are, how much they actually believe, how much mm-hmm. work they're willing to put into the third dimension, because mm-hmm. it takes work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No
you got to be disciplined. And I think, tell me what you think about this. Like, I feel like committing to something
mm-hmm.
is extremely important.
Yep.
And there's a lot of folks, a lot of kids specifically that I work with that don't understand this idea of commitment, because it's this long-term thing that unfolds into this beautiful thing. Because I think the kids today, and even adults, were so
instant gratification
and mm-hmm. we don't realize the work it takes to get to something mm-hmm. like really coherent.
Yeah.
You know, like relationships that have been building on each other for 15 years is nothing.
It takes work.
Yeah. It takes dedication.
It takes work.
So what are your thoughts about like having commitment and what that actually means? And do you feel like lower generations are missing this, or
You know, I really do.
It's 1:30. I just want to respect your time.
Oh, you're fine. It's all good. Thank you. I really do feel that there is a lack of that, because again, the programming conditioning of instant gratification that we can get like this, that there doesn't have to be, that people think that we don't need to put a lot of work into things, and you just like, you know, things drop into your lap, and it doesn't work that way. I like to say, like, you're either 100% committed or you're not. There's no
half pregnant.
You're right. There's no half pregnant. There's no like 50% committed and all the other 50% I'm so. No, you have to be with whatever goal or whatever your vision, whatever you're planning on doing, or to reach that level of enlightenment, like we're talking about. Like, you have to be 100% committed to it, no matter what, because otherwise you're never going to get there. But there's also, you have to be grateful for that process and know that it's going to be a process. It's going to be a struggle to stay committed, to mm-hmm. stay on point,
mm-hmm.
but it's so worth it when you get to that, like, part. I want to say finish line, but in my opinion, there's no finish line.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing I'm going to ask you about, because I feel like we build ourselves up to, like, there's this finish line, but I don't know about you, but someone like me, when I achieve the goal that I set out for myself, before I even get there, I know the finish line is there.
Ball.
I'm already, it's already brewing up in me.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
it's like you hit the ceiling, and then you're like, oh, shit, I'm going to break through the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then you hit it again.
I can't help it.
Can't either. Some of us just have that in us, I think.
Yeah, and I just want to keep on going.
Agreed.
But then, like, that is dangerous, because we're talking about, like, the whole burnout thing.
Right.
And it's like you can't have this company, then another company, or like some people can.
Well,
like, you know, there's Elon Musk type figures out there that are managing multi-billion-dollar corporations, multiple billion-dollar corporations.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, you have that bandwidth, you have that capacity. How do I get there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I do a dangerous thing for me too, is I compare myself to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
My wife is always saying, like, dude,
comparison
is a thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yep.
And like, I do my best to shake out of it and not do it.
Yeah.
But I can't help it, because
you've
I'm a competitor.
Trust. The competition, like, that thought is great, because it like keeps you going.
Keeps you going.
But you have to trust that where you're at is exactly where you're supposed to be at this time.
That's hard too.
And it is very hard. You know, I thought that where I'm at now was going to be my like comfort level.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shoot, I'm like, I got my beautiful practice, beautiful patients, super grateful. But then I'm like, I feel the calling. I got to do more.
To
like keep going and do something bigger.
So what is that bigger for you? Like, can you get in specifics? Like, what else do you see yourself doing?
Oh man, don't want to let this cat out of the bag. I want to create more impact for people. And I feel that from a physical part, that will be opening up a much larger space than what I have right now.
Okay.
And bringing in other modalities.
Got it.
Not just acupuncture. Because honestly, when people come to my office, they're not just coming to get acupuncture.
They're coming for,
you know, those talks that we have, for that energetic connection, for that personal connection. And like, I will have a team of people that can do that for other people and enlighten other people to heal themselves.
Yeah.
So I feel like I do need a bigger space to do that. Uh-huh. I do feel like there will be an online platform that I can empower people to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm far more connected to like females as like my target, you know, audience.
Yeah.
Just resonates more with me. Yeah. So I feel like empowering, you know, other women would be something that is in my bigger vision.
I like that.
I
think we have to do more for women in general and kids.
Agreed. Totally.
You know, because if we do that, then we got a chance of survival.
That's like setting up the generations. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Women and children.
Women and children. I'm not dissing you guys either. You're necessary, yeah, of course. 100%. But yeah, no, I agree with you on
but,
that.
You know, like take like one, I know we just had a baby, my wife and I.
Yeah, congrats.
And
love
thank
it.
You. Thank you. And I've realized from my part, like what I really wanted to do is make sure that my wife felt mentally and physically and emotionally supported throughout the entire fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because when the baby's in utero, they can understand the words, obviously, but they understand.
There's an energetic connection.
They're picking up on tone of voice. They're picking up on the stress of the mom and dad, in the stress in the environment.
Exactly.
Inflammatory foods and all this stuff have a role in how the baby develops.
Yep.
But from my part, like trying to be hyper aware of where my nervous system state was.
Yeah.
No matter how frantic, frustrated, happy, sad, whatever it was.
Yeah.
The number one goal is make sure she would felt supported.
That's awesome.
Happy, safe,
amazing.
Physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like that is why like the baby had like we had a great experience with the whole birth process.
Yeah.
We had a very smooth pregnancy.
Yeah.
And amazing. The baby is developing fantastically healthy. It's the most amazing fucking thing.
Having a child will change you no matter what.
And for the better.
Yeah.
Like I tried to ask so many dads, like, what did it feel like when you didn't have a baby? And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. So like I'm waiting for this perfect answer.
Yeah.
But then like everyone's so caught off guard.
Like
by like, what did you just fucking ask me?
Yeah,
I don't know. Right? I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
But like what I'm always realizing every day is that like this journey, whatever I'm on, like means so much more because the kids, they see through action and how parents behave,
things
everything
like a sponge.
Exactly,
right?
And everything that the parents are doing, they embody almost exactly.
Agreed.
So like I just want my kid to know that doing something authentic and purposeful and adding your unique skill set and talent into the world, but also the caveat of helping others is extremely important.
Huge.
And
huge.
Whatever it is that you end up doing, there has to be that pattern in.
Yeah.
You have to add your own unique skill. You have to make sure that you're adding value to the world and helping others. Fill your own cup first, obviously, and then help fill everybody else's cup.
Yeah.
And I want my kid to see that that's what dad's doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, lead by example, right?
Yeah.
If anything. And I feel like it's great to be hyper aware of that, but as a parent for 11 years now, I feel like you got to give yourself grace to be human sometimes too.
Yeah.
And like, everyone's going to think they fucked up their kids at some point.
Oh, shit.
Like, no doubt that's going to come to be like, oh, I screwed up my kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, but like, we're all doing the best we can with what we're given.
Yeah.
And as long as you instill those values of, you know, leading by example of, you know, good intentions, being a good person, practicing gratitude. I like to attempt to like teach my son and ask him throughout the week, how did you help someone today?
Mm.
Like, how did you help someone?
I like that. Where'd you get that one from?
I actually was listening to, it was a podcast. I forgot which one. I can't credit it. But it was a podcast with like a psychologist about children and parenting and like connecting with them. And I was like, dang, that's such a good idea. Like how did you help
someone
and how did someone help you?
Mm.
So it's instilling in them like to be of service, you know?
Yeah,
Which I think is what we're all meant to be here at some point.
Yeah,
to be
for
of
sure.
service to others.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is great.
Good stuff, man.
This is fun. You're getting me going here.
I love it.
All right. So parenting.
Yeah, parenting.
Parenting.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I want to keep going down
the
parenting
road tell me.
Here.
Uh-huh.
How do you find, like, your, like, solitude time as your child has been developed, your children have been developing and growing, like, you know, the kid needs all sorts of attention and care. How do you find the balance for yourself as you're doing the best as you can, taking care of your child?
That has taken me some time to figure out. But first off, I've realized that, and I tell every mother and every patient parent that I know this, that if you do not take care of yourself, you are not showing up as the best version of yourself for your children. So, because a lot of people, especially moms, will feel the mom guilt of like, oh no, I can't work out. I can't go meditate for 20 minutes. I can't go do a day of self-care. I got to do this for my kids. But if you're really doing that for your kids, like you have to take that time to take care of yourself. Like every, you know, couple weeks always schedule like a dinner with my girlfriends, you know, in order to get out, because sometimes I'll feel bad. My son's like, Mom, where are you going? And I'm like, out with some friends. And, you know, but the next day, you know, I feel recharged, you know, because I've had that time. For me, something that's a non-negotiable for me is that, and this takes what we were talking about, commitment, discipline, is that I attempt to wake up at 5 or a little bit before every morning. And from 5 to 7 is my me time. So that's when I get up. Kids are sleeping still. I have my coffee. I go, I have a little gym that I built out, thankfully, in my basement.
Nice.
So I go downstairs. I may like sit down there for a little bit until, you know, got enough energy to get going. I do my workout. I do some weights. And then I may spend like 20 to 30 minutes in my sauna. I have a sauna in my basement.
Good for you. So, 4 times, 5 times a week with the sauna? Or what do you do?
Yeah, usually 4 to 5 times a week.
That's
sometimes
awesome.
The time frames can vary, but you know, but yeah. And then by 7, I get upstairs. I get my son up ready for school. And then I feel good, like starting my day. And
love
then it gives me, you know, energy. It gives me the patience to deal with my kids, you know, because when you're in a better place mentally, like you can deal with, you know, the craziness of children running around. So it's a non-negotiable.
Like
I have to do that. And I'll say I fuck up sometimes. Like
you're not perfect. You
know, not perfect. There's weeks where I'm like, or there's days when, you know, my daughter is still young. She's like a year and a half, but she doesn't sleep through the night. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm freaking exhausted. And then my alarm goes off at 5. However, there may be some times that I'm just like, get up, Christina, let's go. Or there may be some times when, you know what, you deserve this rest today and don't feel guilt about it.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like that slingshot effect.
Yeah.
You know, like got to roll back a little bit and recharge in order to do better the next day. So,
yeah.
So it's non-negotiable. Got self-care as a parent, mothers, fathers, whoever, it's you need to do it.
I like what you said. It's like you're doing it for your kid.
You are.
You got to program yourself to think that, because then you're not showing up as 100% of the best version of you for your kid if you're not doing that.
Because what are they going to learn from?
Right.
Are they going to learn to take care of themselves if you're not taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
That's where I come from, that my son is not going to learn to take care of himself as he gets older unless he sees me doing it.
Fuck yeah.
So I actually, he likes working out now. I've gotten
So he's 11?
He's almost 11. So he enjoys working out now. Like he has on his habit tasks for the week. I have like a habit tracker.
Love it.
That's cool. I can't say he's always on point, but it's like, okay, every day or 4 to 5 times a week, you have to like read or do your homework, and he checks it off on his little habit tracker. And then you have to exercise for 30 minutes. So he goes into the gym in the basement and he'll either run or he'll like do some like body weight exercises.
Cool.
And then I actually, if I'm not home, because I work some other hours when he's doing this, I have him videotape himself and he sends it to me. He's
that's
like,
awesome.
Here, look, Mom. So, but that's why I'm thankful that I do that for myself, because I've instilled that in him right now. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that carries on with
fuck
him.
Fuck yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. A lot of, give me a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Awesome. Good. I'm glad.
Just a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. What are you listening to right now when it comes to podcasts or audiobooks, or what are you reading? Who do you like? Who are your favorite authors, podcasters? Who inspires you to keep doing what you do?
Okay, so I listen a lot to, his name is Jim Fortin.
Never heard of him.
I'll send you a link to his stuff. I think you would absolutely love it.
Okay.
He is, I think his like tagline is transform your life from the inside out.
Okay.
I'm in one of his more intensive coaching programs that I made a big investment in that I literally feel like it has changed my life.
Nice.
Like, I absolutely love it. And I love the man. He's
weekly thing kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
Does he run it or is his minions run it?
He runs it, part of it. And then he does have coaches beneath him that run it. So, but I feel like it's all been phenomenal.
Good.
And that has forced me to do a lot more of that deep work too in his program. It's helped me in like life, business, relationships, like self-worth, value, all of that stuff.
Great.
I also listen to a lot of Manifestation Babe, if you've heard of her.
No.
She's like more kind of female oriented. She's you're talking about manifesting.
Yeah.
Catherine Zimkina is her name. And then there's another couple of who else is on? James Wedmore. He's like a business. He's interesting. You would like him. He's called the Mind Your Business podcast, but it's spirituality and business mixed together. And it's, I love his stuff.
Cool.
And,
yeah, these are three names I'd never heard of
before. I'll write none for you.
Great.
And then John Madsen is another one that's very fitness and business and mindset oriented. And a lot about like, well, Jim Fortin's about this too, with like subconscious reprogramming of our minds and our stories, our identities.
Yeah.
I listen to all that stuff.
So, nice.
Yeah.
I love going down
that
rabbit
hole. I'm like
addicted
to that stuff.
So am I. Yeah. When do you listen to your podcast?
So typically in the morning, either when I'm doing cardio or as I'm getting my kids ready in the morning, like when they first get up, I'll keep it on my phone.
Yeah.
Car rides, you know.
Car rides are my favorite.
Car
it takes
rides
me
usually.
40 minutes to get
oh,
from
wow.
home
well,
to
then
here.
You got a lot of time to listen
40
to
minutes on the way here, 40 minutes on the way back. And I've been doing it since 2016.
Wow.
And like, man, I never considered myself as like somebody that was super smart. Or intelligent.
Okay.
I just was like, you know, physical guy, sports, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then when I got into like being a teacher, I was like, well, I gotta be fucking smarter than, you know, just knowing the rules of games and shit, you know? And then when you start, I was teaching in the inner city for 3 years.
Wow.
So like getting to know kids and building relationships with them started making me, forced me to learn more about psychology, personality.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
I just naturally started loving consciousness and learning about like, what drives us, right? Where do these emotional
urges
come from, right? And then you start learning about programming and unprogramming and then trauma, parental trauma.
Right.
Like we didn't even talk about like any of that stuff,
right?
And how important that is, how significant it is and how things play out in your life.
True.
You know, so like learning all that from podcasts and audiobooks fucking changed the game for me.
Yeah. Totally.
And you know, you start paying attention to these patterns with people when you're training them in groups, one-on-ones, when I'm training kids, like you start seeing a lot of the similar patterns kind of just,
you become much more self-aware.
Yeah. 100%. And the same thing with myself, like what's programming this emotion?
Yes.
Why do I feel so strongly about this? Where is this coming
from?
What
underlying story am I living by that is embedded in my identity that's making me think this way?
Yeah.
Or it's guiding my perception in that way.
Yes.
Because everything is like about our perception.
Perception. And like what's being blind, like what am I being blind or what's blinding
Which
me?
Which color glasses are we looking through right now?
For sure. For sure. And I've become way more open to this kind of thing the last 5 years since I've been doing the work
Love
or on
it.
The path
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, like listening to podcasts, listening to audiobooks have definitely broadened my range of knowledge and information and been able to like filter it.
Love it.
Better, you know, through the wellness and performance shit that I've been doing the last 5 years. But anyway, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having
me.
This was such a great talk, man.
Yeah.
I love this shit.
So I want my goal is to do more of this.
Yeah.
So I'll show you the other side right
now.
Yeah. I have like an office being built for the trainers that are just, you know, kind of just hanging out or whatever.
Yeah.
But the goal is to get more people down here and pod with them.
That's awesome.
You know, people like you, Dr. Dan's moving in.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Dude, I cannot wait for that.
Love
He's my guy.
He's the best.
Yeah, dude. I've been working with
him
for over a year.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And like, we just really align.
Good vibe.
And, you know, he was looking to move and I'm looking to find, you know, a chiropractor.
Sweet.
And it was like a perfect
That's
fit.
That's going to be a great fit. You see all these opportunities when you become 100%. When you're in alignment, it just like drops into your lap.
Yeah, totally
cool.
Just like that. So, All right, I'm gonna end it.
Thank you. Yeah, this is so cool. Great talk, man.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. I am the owner of Underground Fitness Studio in Park Ridge, Illinois. If you like what you hear today, make sure to share this podcast with somebody that you care about. The idea is to shed more awareness on how your body has the ability to be a self-healing machine.